the fish don't swim in the river. Water birds die just from eating their dinner.
This is the Wake Up Call, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, brought to you by the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. This is co-host Dick Paddock, and right across from me is Lori Hoyt, other co-host, and staffing the camera is Emily O'Hare. We are waiting for our guest to arrive, but in the meantime, we'll have some announcements and things to read.
Yeah. So while we're waiting for, and I'm a little worried because the roads are, I've heard that some of the roads are flooded, so I'm hoping our guest doesn't encounter any difficulties coming from the other end of town. We're here in downtown Carrboro, which is one of our favorite places to be. And while we're waiting for Minister Campbell, is who we're waiting for from the Rogers Road community, we just want to mention that the UNC system is having a year of crisis. You know, it started with the athletic scandals, but it's been really a tumultuous year. They fired Tom Ross, the highly respected UNC president, and that was a big surprise to the community and a surprise to Tom Ross. And this move was coordinated by the Board of Governors. Ross agreed to stay on at the helm of the public university system for another year, although he remarked at a press conference following his ouster that he would love to be here forever. Oh, and here comes our guest. So we'll switch from the UNC system to the Rogers Road Community Center. Welcome, Minister Robert Campbell. We're so happy. How were the roads? I was worried for you with that the roads might be flooded. They are flooded in some parts of town.
Well, they're not quite as flooded once I get onto Homestead Road. But got a lot of water out there on Rogers Road, so.
I was wondering about that.
Careful driving.
Yeah, be careful, everybody driving. I know that already there's some on Jones Ferry Road by near Burger King. Somebody said there's a low spot, and they were diverting some traffic there. So you just have to be careful. We've had my daughter told me today, who lives in Chatham County, that there was 9 inches of rain in November, and already this month we've had 7, and that was earlier today, 7 and counting. So this is the time you have to watch it. Trees, when the ground gets so soggy, some trees fall over, and so let's hope that the rain ceases pretty soon. I think we've kind of filled up our reservoir, and we've got enough for a little while. Don't want a chance to absorb this. Anyhow, we're glad you're here. Glad you got here safely.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. And so where shall we start? You want to just catch your breath a minute?
Oh, I'm good. I'm
you're
good.
Good?
I'm
you're good. Good? I'm you're good. Ready? Okay. We haven't had you here for a while, and I know we've just been celebrating the Rogers Road Community Center's first birthday.
So true, so true. And what a birth it was. Every day there's something going on out there, positive. Young people coming out, enjoying themselves at the tutoring program we have, and they're coming very interactive with the program that we have going on. Anything from math, reading, and science to actually creating rain gardens. So right now I believe that rain garden is being very effective out there in front of the Rogers Road Community Center. That was built during the, it was put together during the summer enrichment camp.
Uh-huh.
And so we offer many opportunities for our young people to get involved in the community.
And that rain garden was a good forethought. I'm sure it's coming in handy now.
It is.
Yeah. So I know you have many kinds of programs going on every time we go over there, because Wilf sometimes has meetings over there. We also come to the NAACP meetings, which I think we ought to mention before we forget. It's the first Saturday of the month, and even though it's right after New Year's, it's going to be on January 2nd, right?
That's true. We have so much going on that it is very important that we go ahead and meet, and so we can go ahead and adjust our calendar for 2016.
Yes, so any NAACP members or those who would like to find out what it's about or think about joining, come to the Rogers, or want to see the Rogers Road Community Center, come a Saturday, January 2nd at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Is when from 1 to 2:30 will be the meeting. And you're right, there's a lot going on. We got to get ready for HK on J.
That is true.
Coming up in February.
Yes.
So I don't know whether we want to talk about that or whether keep it with Rogers Road right now.
Well, I mean, we can't separate the two.
You cannot.
Cannot separate the two. Rogers Road Community Center that has been facilitated by the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association is a environmental and social justice organization. And so we are very rooted and embedded in all the action that is taking place in the NAACP. HK on J is just one of the partnerships that we are part of, and it's all about bringing recognition to the social issue that we have, not just only in the state of North Carolina, but global now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are just one of those partners that that make up that coalition.
Mm-hmm.
The people of Simile,
we are too, by the way.
Oh,
Wilf,
yes,
we've been partners from the beginning. This is what, the seventh year?
No, this...
Or is this the eighth?
This will be the eighth, I believe.
Okay.
Might even be the ninth.
And I think they had... last year they had 50,000, and I think the year before they was this big year was 80,000, but last year was 50, and we're going to hope to have 50,000 again this year.
Well, or either more.
Or more. Or more.
We got an early start, began to publicize it more. We'll be doing that in every event that we be having, even our winter training that will be taking place. So we'll be talking about HK on J. We'll be talking about all the other activities that we are thinking about hosting. And so right on down to our Freedom Fund banquet, we'll be talking about how to get people out and get them involved, motivate people, energize them.
Mm-hmm.
This year that's coming up is a year that we need to wake up all those that are the sleeping voters.
Absolutely.
Wake them up. Get them out there.
Crisis year for this state, for this community, for this nation. It's a big, big year. And you're right. We got to get people who have just been – people get busy with their own lives and just get lackadaisical or just get busy. But we want to get them motivated and getting to the polls, getting their friends to the polls, getting their neighbors to the polls. It's so important this year. It's always important, but this year it's extra important.
It is. We have a job to help inform them.
Yes.
So they'll be an informed voter, so they'll know what the issues are, and have a better feel about which way to cast their vote.
And I'm just going to back up, because there's always, you know, Chapel Hill, I think I read someplace, has a 50% turnover every year. You know, we are a transient community for many because of the university. And so I want to just say what HKNJ stands for, because it's amazing.
Oh, yes.
Some people do not know. And H stands for historic. The J is for Jones Street.
Yes.
HK. And K is for thousands. Yes. Historic. Thousands on Jones Street, which is where the state's capital is in Raleigh. So that's what is historic. Thousands, HK on J is the shorthand word for it. And sometimes we so used to it, we forget that some people will think, what are they talking about? And when you said you're a partner, and I said the Women's International League is a partner, I think there's, what, 150 partners?
Closer
to 200, I understand.
Is it up to 200? So many nonprofits and many organizations align themselves and are partners with the state NAACP for this historic Thousands on Jones Street, and that is to mobilize ourselves, to inspire each other, to know we're not alone, because sometimes you read those headlines and you feel, oh, you feel so alone, and how can all these other people be so crazy? And so this is a way to know you're not alone, that there's a lot of people standing there with you, and united we have a chance to make a change.
That is true. There are so many different views about what is going on. But to give everybody who have an opinion about what is going on in our society, from education to health care, mm-hmm. The disparities that is out there in affordable housing, mm-hmm. Living wages. I think there is an opportunity for everyone who has an opinion about how to make changes. It's so often we tell, you know, if you want a change to happen, you got to stand up for that change and voice that change for that change to happen.
Yes.
One voice can influence thousands of voices. And once we do that and give them the proper information to go out and motivate others to go out to vote, take them to the voting poll, just encourage everybody to go out.
Yeah.
Speak about it everywhere you go, even in the grocery store. Don't be ashamed of justice.
Yeah, don't be shy. Speak up. Because ranting and raving in your living room is not going to change things.
That's
you
true.
Know, we're all really great about ranting and raving, you know, when we're having a cup of coffee in the morning and looking at the paper. But that's not going to help anything. You got to do that ranting and raving out in the public square somewhere so other people hear what you're saying and get a chance to consider your point of view and what you think is really important.
Yeah, let that voice become your vote.
Yes.
Cast that vote.
Cast
speak
that.
Loud.
Speak loud. Speak to many, many people.
Yes.
So this is going to be, it's such a critical year. I'd started before, we're waiting for you, talking about what a crisis year it is for our university. I understand that you were a stalwart at the Board of Governors meeting when there was a protest about this woman who's been supposed to be our next president, Margaret Spelling. And I first didn't know too much about her, but the more I heard, the more I was ready to rant and rave it. And I'm glad you all got to the Board of Governors meeting, because she is on the board of a for-profit Phoenix University, so-called university, that has been cited by the government because hardly anybody are graduating or getting able to get jobs. And even worse than that, she is also on the board of a collection agency, not just any old collection agency, mind you. It's a collection agency on student debt. So that was the last straw. And I thought, this is it. You know, if we can't speak up now, this is not the kind of person we want in charge of any power with our students, if she's out there collecting debts of students who are struggling. And I hope she's not going to try to make us a privatized university. It's very scary. So the university is having a crisis year. The country's having a crisis. So this is the time for all good people, men and women, to stand straight and stand tall.
That's true. It is the People University. It's not corporate university.
Not yet.
And we're going to make sure that it does not become that.
That's right.
Let the voices of the people be heard. When we do not And I say, do not make sure that our youth that is graduating from our university have the proper tools to go out into the business world, because we cut back on support for our young people. And then we don't, when they graduate or they drop out, they don't have the potential to go into the workforce to make the funds they need to pay back their debt. So if we are not making sure that they are qualified, we should not be the one to kick them when they are down. We should also find ways to assist. Our community colleges and our school of higher learning should be one of the things that is on the priority list to make sure that our young people can compete globally. Mm-hmm. Right now, they are not able to compete nationally. And so that is telling us that our priority is not in the right place. Mm-hmm. And then those that that want to tighten the lid to keep them down, I believe, that, now this is my opinion, that if we put the wrong pressure on our young folks, we are saying that, you know, that either you're going to do it this way and go along with the corporations, mm-hmm. or you're not going to come into the main flow at all. Mm-hmm. And we need to nip that in the bud before it even gets started. Mm-hmm. Make sure that our university stay the People University, and that education and the major education success is how quick a turnover from graduation into the business world, that they can go in and make sure that there are jobs out there. Not only while we're educating our young folks to qualify for these jobs, we have to create these jobs. We got to bring some of our jobs back into America out of some of these other countries where we have sent them. And the other thing that, you know, that that we don't often talk about, we may send orders overseas for apparels and clothing of that sort, and we not paying the ones who are making them a living wage. But we bring them back to America, those apparels, and we sell them at a higher price that that seem like there's marked up 250% over the true market value of those
clothes.
I think
it's called exploitation.
Oh, it is.
It's called modern slavery. You know, and back to our students and the student debt, the university has been raising tuition, and all of this is on the backs of the students. And then at the same time, they give the salaries.
Yes.
Margaret Spelling, $775,000, and that's other perks on top of that. And to add insult to injury, then all the chancellors got 15% to 25% to 50% raises, these huge raises, people who are already making way more than administrators used to make in our universities. This is not a private university. It is a public university. Our taxes are paying for it. Yet every year the tuition has gone up, and they're doing it on the backs of the students, and then they wonder why the students cannot pay this enormous debt. You know, that's the part that is just so unfair. Plus, of course, we just had a recession and the job market contracted significantly, and the job market has not bounced back. Wall Street's doing pretty darn good, but the job market is limping along. And so these young people a lot of times are struggling, want to work, but to be able to find a job, a lot of them are working waiting tables, you know, and then are saddled with thousands of dollars of debt. So this is, you know, when I think about their debt, it's like we used to have a mortgage. Our mortgage is not as big as the students' debt that they have now. It's a heck of a way to start your young life out of school, brand new diploma, and $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 worth of debt before you turn around.
That is true. And the other bad part about it is that our professors, our instructors,
they're not
guaranteed, mm-hmm. they're going to have a job next month,
mm-hmm.
or next year.
That's right.
And so if we are losing qualified instructors, what is going to be the quality of our education because of money is going up rather than being spread
more
down.
More and more administrators.
Yes.
Look at all the money they paid, this hush money, trying to, with this athletic scandal. I think Gene Nickel had a column about that, that they paid all these consultants to try to figure out how to spin it and make it sound better rather than just coming out and saying, we made a mistake, this is what we're going to do to make it better. And they said, well, that's private money. Well, it's private money that could go to tuition help.
Yes.
It's private money that could do many things for the university. So the whole thing has become so corrupt, and it's so makes you so sad because we've always taken pride in our people's university. I'm an alumni of this university, and it just breaks my heart, you know, to see what's happening. I went as an older person in the late 60s, and I think the tuition was $225 a semester. And even then, that was a bargain then, you know,
golden
really.
Days. Golden days.
But the tuition has gone way at a rate much higher than the cost of living. Some people will say, oh, well, look at what wages are now. No, excuse me. The mm-hmm. rate that the tuition has gone up has been way out of line with the percentage of cost of living.
Cost of living.
So we're doing all this on the backs of these young people. And you're right about the professors. They're contracting fewer and fewer tenured professors. It's more the adjunct, and a lot of them are scraping by, and some of them have to be on food stamps. They just get paid for a course. You know, they don't get any benefits, any job security. So there we are. A lot of work to be done.
A lot of work yet still to be done.
Yet still to be done. To kind of get, I feel like sometimes we're going backwards, and that's what's also sad. You know, you work and work to get this kind of improvement and that kind of improvement, and boy, you get a legislature in and some people in who just have a different way of looking at things, and they start unraveling, you know, all that we tried so hard to put in place for so long.
Well, it's just like a good car that somehow speeds down the highway. And all of a sudden you come to a point in the road where there is a huge manhole bump in the road. It caused the car to do a lot of rattling. And sometimes even to go to the side of the road and get stuck in the mud. And so we're at a point where we are stuck in the mud.
That's okay.
And we have not figured the way how to get unstuck. Because if we do, a lot of people will benefit from getting us unstuck.
Yes.
But that is the way we got to do it. We got to get our
I love this analogy.
Momentum unstuck.
Yes.
And understand that if we benefit the larger group, the better we will be as a nation. And some of their fear that is running amok right now could be diminished.
Yeah.
Where there are more people that don't have that pressure on them. What am I going to eat tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to be homeless next week?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to live from check to paycheck?
Mm-hmm.
In one of the wealthiest nation on this earth. If we use our resource to help each other rather than trying to just get a quota amount of people into a leadership position that is not for the nation but for their elite group.
Yeah.
And so it is about working together, you know. As I often say, you know, at the end of my email, that we must enter into the halls of justice and speak with a loud voice for these changes to take place.
Yeah.
And HK on J is one of those platforms that allow us to do that.
And that's going to be in February, the second Saturday in February. Well, do you know what date that is? It might, I think it might be the 10th, but I'm not sure. But it'll be the second Saturday in February. So it's in Raleigh, and be listening. We'll be announcing it on this radio station. And we're going to take a break in just a minute, and then we'll come back. We're talking with Minister Robert Campbell. I'm Lori Hoyt, and Dick Paddock is co-host with me, and Emily O'Hare is doing the video camera. I hope that's okay. We never asked your permission.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you'd like it. Yeah.
So this is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom presenting our wake-up call to you. excuse me. We are broadcasting on the facilities of WCOM, LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro. And we are underwritten by Internationalist Bookstore at, excuse me, at 101 Lloyd Street here.
God
bless
you.
In downtown Carrboro. It's not cool, Carrboro. It's pretty warm right now. But let's see. One announcement I'd like to make. Next week we will have our guests, Steve Wolford and
Lenore
Yarger of
Silcope
Catholic Quaker
Catholic Worker House.
Is it Catholic Worker House? Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're the hotline counselors helping the GI hotline. Primarily aimed at Fort Bragg, because that's where we are, but they accept calls from anywhere.
Yeah.
And we'll be very happy to hear their report of their activities as they actually are going off on a 3-month sabbatical.
Yes, and we'll be so delighted that we can have them on before they leave.
Right.
And, Dick, I want us not to forget to mention the Trans-Pacific Partnership so-called trade deal that is going to be up for a vote in the spring, coming up pretty soon. And several of us just went to our representative, David Price's office. What day do we go on?
Monday. This past Monday.
One of our members, Miriam Thompson, wrote a great letter about why the Trans-Pacific Partnership is such a bad deal for our country. I won't go into the whole thing, but maybe in a subsequent program as we get closer, we'll go into that. We've had programs on it, and we'll be doing that again. But one of the things is that one of the things that is really upsetting is this, and I think they have that in NAFTA too, but it's just worse. It's now 12 countries that we endanger our sovereignty, and it's a bonus gift to the corporations. If any corporation doesn't like, if either Chapel Hill or our state or any other municipal entity passes a labor law that makes it more fair, or an environmental law, and some corporations doesn't like it, they can sue and say they're going to sue for their future profits, whatever that might be. And it does not go to one of our courts. It goes to a special secret court that three lawyers are judges in. So this is, and I know it happened even under NAFTA, Canada, some part of Canada or the nation itself sued the state of California when they found that one of the additives that are produced in Canada was cancer producing, and they said they would not allow gasoline to be sold with that additive. That corporation from Canada sued the state of California that it was going to interfere with its future profits. So it happens, and it's happened in other cases.
There's one that happened very recently. Both Mexico and Canada sued the United States because they felt that if the United States was able to force beef in particular, but meat in general, to have its origin, its country of origin specified, then the poor countries would have loss of their
future profits.
Loss of their future profits because they
we wanted the country of origin on the meat.
Yeah, because they felt that if we put the country of origin, then that implies some sort of stigma. So they want all the beef that we have will not have any country of origin specified. So we have to deal with that.
So this is like just a few examples of what can happen, and there are many other things. That, from what I understand, it's a big gift to the pharmaceutical companies, and I won't go into the details, but it's a good chance that all of our pharmaceuticals will go even higher than they are now. So there's a lot of very scary and unjust things attached to this trade bill. So pay attention, because sometimes people's eyes glaze over and you say, oh, the TPP. They say, what is that? You know, so it's a Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's 12 countries, and at least four of them have terrible human rights records. I think Malaysia, Indonesia, Vietnam, and I'm not sure of the other one. So there's a
Thailand,
whole.
Thailand, I think.
Huh?
I think somebody said Thailand.
That sounds right. So there's a lot. We'll be having another program about it. So we did go to David Price. He wasn't there, but we left a letter and a painting that Lib Hutchby brought that showed a painting that showed about fracking, the people looking so upset and grief-stricken with the air and water being compromised. The horrors of it. Thank you. That's exactly the look on the face. So we'll be having more about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and I think some of our members are going to be going at the beginning of the year to meet with David Price himself and follow through on that letter. So we'll be talking about that. Now, want to get back to our guest, Minister Robert Campbell, who is with RENA, the Rogers Eubanks
Neighborhood Association,
that after 40 years were successful in along with talking about uniting with other community people who united, were able to get a community center that's been promised for a long time, and it's celebrating its first birthday, and it's already got so many programs going, tutoring to literacy to some fun things, some sleepovers, and planting a rain garden, just a lot of wonderful learning activities for the young people and for the adults in the neighborhood.
Yes. One of the things that we just saw this past weekend was the gift distribution.
Yes.
And one of the things that David was so pleased about was the fact that they last year had, I think it was 15 bicycles to give away, and this year they were shooting for 30. But they actually got 70.
So we had our meeting there on Saturday, and there was half this room with all these beautiful bicycles. And then I saw at another corner of the room a whole lot, which was very good, of helmets. So these young people out there riding their bikes would be safe, and they had their helmets. So that was just, you know, made your heart sing. It was just so wonderful to see.
Well, we was able to do that because of the partnership. From local organizations all the way to our law enforcement that made donations of bikes and bike helmet. A lot of our partners who made donation funds available so that we can make sure that not only to give away the bikes, but toys and light clothing and food.
I saw all those bags of food.
What we looked at was a total package.
Yeah.
in our collective giving. We would not have been able to do that without so many generous donors helping us achieve our to exceed our goal. So, put it that way.
So to go from 15 bikes to 70. So how many children came? Do you have a number?
Well, we were looking at some of the stats the other day, and it looked like that we was able to provide item for over 200 kids.
Over 200 kids. Oh my gosh! Over 200.
And I'm not sure about the. About the number, but we do know that 50 bikes, 60 bikes, 70 bikes, still was plenty, but there were so many that came after that were looking for bikes. And so our goal is to try to have at least, that we're going to try to have 100. If we could do more than 100 next year, be fine. But we are grateful. We are very thankful, and we are overjoyed because of the outpouring of so many people giving not only their funds but their time come out and help us with this event. We had the Roger Road residents coming out helping. We had some of the. Some of our law enforcement came out, and this present and the greeting of our young people assured them that it is a safe place.
Yes.
And that is a place of giving. It's a place
that
where you
loved.
Have that collective agreement of enjoying one another present.
Yeah.
And so it leaves a everlasting impression, not only on the young folks, but on their parents. And other people who came in and saw the interaction.
And the joy. Can you imagine a kid getting a new bike? What a thrill. What a thrill. Oh, and, you know, and that says to a child and to their parents that this is a community that they're cared for, that they are loved. And that is so important for them to really relieve that anxiety and to know that there's help there and people who are... You know, Santa lives.
Oh, yes.
the spirit of Santa lives at Rogers Road. It was just beautiful to see that all those gifts and toys and food, all those big bags of food. That was just wonderful to think of how that would feel to those children and those parents.
Well, you know, I'm afraid to say I'm not going to brag. But yes, I am.
Go ahead.
We have one of the better staff community center in all Orange County. We have people who love what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They are there from the time they open up until the time they close, until the last person leaves. And all of this is being done on a very, very, very limited budget. Because most of the work that is done by the staff. They are all volunteers.
Oh.
And they give their all in all. Their best does not come with a price.
No.
Their best is seeing the joy of those who they service. And to see them leave with a smile. And then someone else come in and say, I was recommended by so-and-so and so.
Yeah.
The word of mouth is spreading that there's joy to be found at the Rogers Road Community Center. There's love that pushes forth the events that take place at Rogers Road.
Yeah.
But we can even do more. It's not about paying the staff, but we can do more. We are trying to make sure that every avenue is of life is met for our clients that come into the community center, whether it's about clothing, whether it's about education, whether it's about information about health care, affordable mm-hmm. housing, or how to model a nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
We try to help. If we cannot give them the information they need, we are able to find someone that can. And it is all about having that joy of helping each other.
So the community center is such a resource center for the community, you know, and people know that if they need to find out about something, from health to education to tutoring to whatever it is, that they can go there and somebody will figure out how they can get or where to go to take care of whatever their
need
is.
That is true.
That is just one. I know you give a lot of your time. I know David and Rose Caldwell do, and I know there's other members of the community.
Yes.
So here's a shout out to all these selfless volunteers, but their reward is seeing this community come together and seeing the joy for those kids to have a safe place and a happy place to come to.
So true.
Yeah.
We're going to put some very impressionable pictures out on our website just to see the joy of the young folks that rode off, we said rode off into joy on their bikes. They had some of the biggest smile on their face, and they was interacting with each other. That is what love does.
Yeah.
There's a quote out there where an artist said that in my passing, there were strangers that met, that nodded at each other, but in their passing, they are less anonymous now. And that's what we saw on Saturday the 19th, that as these young folks drove off on their bike, rode off on their bikes, and some was pushing the bike because they wanted to have that joy of riding their bicycle on Christmas Day. But as they passed by, it was like, I got my number one gift. And they nod back. It's okay. It's okay. I got mine too. And, it's those type of things that, that not only do we try to meet the educational and the health and the food part of it, but the joy to let our young folks know and the parents of these young people know that this is a place where your child is loved.
Yeah.
And we're about, as we said, these are the future ambassadors of peace and social justice that we are helping to.
And community.
Oh, definitely.
A united community. And before the Christmas gift giving, you, just a few months earlier, had the book bag. And how many book bags?
Oh, we gave out 550 book
bags. I thought it was that many. I was afraid to say.
550 book bags.
So can you, the organizing that goes into developing those relationships and to get that many book bags. And I wasn't there this year when it was handed out, but I've been at other times. And talk about joy on kids' faces. They get the book bag with supplies already in it.
Oh, yes.
And they showing each other their book bag and so excited. It's, boy, oh, boy. I had lived in Rogers Road when I was a kid.
we got a lot of programs that are already activated out there. But we're looking at another program where we're actually going to we're trying to find funds for the young people to create a book that they create.
Yeah.
They do the artwork, and it'd be edited by one of our team leaders. But it's the funding part that we are lacking, not the enthusiasm to doing it, but the funding. And so,
are you trying to get a grant?
We're trying to get a grant. We're trying to get in-kind donations to help us do this.
Yeah.
It's going to be teamed up with one of our other partners, Porch.
Okay.
And what we want to do is bring forth the concept that these young folks understand the lack of nutritional food.
Yeah.
But because of the program that we have, they are able to receive, and it makes life a lot better. But how do you tell the story through the eyes of young folks that adults will be able to understand.
Yeah.
And see that if we help one child, and that one child tells about, I know somewhere where if you don't have anything to eat, I know where you can get something.
Where you can get. And get healthy
food. And get healthy food.
We're talking to Minister Robert Campbell from the Rogers Road Community Center and RENA Neighborhood Association. And we're talking about this community that has several ethnic groups. There's about three different communities out there, at least. And Minister Campbell has worked tirelessly to bring these communities together. That are of different ethnicities, and it could so easily become us and them. And you had your community garden. You've done so much, and now with the community center, it's a focal point, bringing these various communities together for the children and for everyone in the community. Minister Campbell,
as they say, if we help the least among us,
mm-hmm.
it make us all strong.
It does, yeah.
A stronger community is able to do more. And then when we become that community that works together and show forth that success, it is a role model for those that are outside Orange County to see that there is a roadmap for change.
Yeah.
And that it started right here. I also said, the things that happen on the positive side in Chapel Hill end up going national.
Well, that's they
end up going national.
That's a very hopeful thought. I hope.
Oh, it is. We have had friends to call us from other states.
Really?
And say, I haven't heard about what's going on out in Rogers Road.
That's wonderful.
Keep up the good work. I have some of my Navy buddies that when I was in the Navy back in the 70s, they emailed me every now and then about, I see you're still working. When you going to retire? And I tell them, I say, well, you know, old salt does not retire. It just goes back into the earth.
That's wonderful. And you're right, though, a positive, beautiful things like that does attract. And it's also, if you want an antidote to the hate and fear that is promulgated by too many in our society, the best thing is to have this positive, loving place, because that dispels that fear and not trusting each other and getting afraid of each other. That's the best antidote you can have. And you're all doing, talk about God's work, you're doing it.
Thank you. And if there's anyone out there in the sound of our voice that want to continue to see this work going on.
Yes, let's get that out there.
We are located at 101 Eggert Street, Chapel Hill, 27516. That is 101 EDGAR Street, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Our post office box also is 16903 Chapel Hill, North Carolina, 27516. We are located here in Chapel Hill, but our work goes outside the Chapel Hill, Carver, Orange County community. It is about helping those that does not have the power, but not just to give them a seed, but to show them how to plant that seed so they can create more. It is about empowering our young folks and their parents and the whole community. We're about service. We're about showing forth love. And we're also about how do we come together as a collective people. It is about how do the human race empower itself to move forward and create a loving future for all that will come after us.
So donations
Reverend
of
Campbell, we have somebody on the show, on the air dialed in. Buck Jones.
Buck Jones.
Yes.
I
have to put this on so you can hear.
Okay.
Yes, this is Minister Campbell.
Hello.
I can't hear.
Hello?
Can you hear?
Yeah, he's a friend of Buck Jones. Who's calling?
We can't hear the phone.
Can't hear the phone.
It's supposed to be, if we put these on, we're supposed to be able to hear. Are we plugged?
We can't seem to get you on the air.
Well, if you can hear my voice, I do understand who you are talking about. The Reverend Buck Jones that lived there on Purifoy Drive for many years.
Does he have a question? We can't get him on, but...
Okay. He just wants to say hello. Okay.
Well, hello, and thank you. Thank you for calling in.
We've got to figure out how to get this where we can get it on the air. We're supposed to if we get these headphones on, but it didn't work. So,
the caller, he was talking about one of the pastors that lived in the Roger Road community, Mr. Buck Jones. He worked for Owosso for many years, but he had a community garden out there back in the 70s.
Oh my goodness.
He used to help feed the community to make sure that we had fresh vegetables, but also he also raised hogs.
Oh.
And he had fresh meat, and we learned so much from Mr. Jones. He had apple trees, pear trees, plum trees, and we was always welcome in his yard. And so it is something that we grew up with, the love and the kindness of Mr. Buck Jones.
So he was a model for you
all.
He
was a model for us, yes. And there are so many ones that we can call models. Miss Gertrude Nunn.
Oh, I know the Nunn family.
The Purifoys out there.
Yeah.
The Peppers. All this what made up. Made up a community of givers.
Yeah.
I often talk about the Caldwell family, how all the four sons followed after their father into the military and in law enforcement. That I don't think there is another community in Orange County that have the bragging rights that I'd have the privilege to talk about. They gave selfishly service into law enforcement as well as the military.
Yeah.
And so it is those type of models that that also influence other young people to go into law enforcement as well as the military. Mm-hmm. They gave and they came back and they're still giving. And so, you know, is that the type of leadership and development that we look at in our community.
So the backbone of wonderful giving people has been in the community, and now it's becoming even more powerful as you united to get this community center and to get some justice for this community, and now beginning to see some fruition of some lone voices, Buck Jones early on, and now it's being amplified and and extended, which is what's making it so powerful.
And I would be a little shaken if I don't mention this. We have several spiritual leaders in the Rogers Road community. We have Bishop Alan McMillan.
Oh, yes.
Faith Tabernacle, Oasis of Love.
Oasis of Love.
We have Pastor Betty Jenkins of Betty Flores, who have given her time, creating art skills, flower arrangement to our young people, and just moral and supplies, merchandise support for the Rogers Road community. And then we have Pastor Tim Peppers that also have a church out there on Rush Lane.
Uh-huh.
And so this is the type of a partnership that we have.
The spiritual underpinnings.
We have the spiritual guidance and the covering to be able to do what we do. Mm-hmm. And it is very important to know that it takes a mixture of backgrounds
mm-hmm.
to make a community safe, healthy, and resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is about...
each one brings different gifts, but they come together.
Come together for the common good for the whole.
Yeah. We're talking to Minister Robert Campbell from the Rena Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association, and we're talking, it's getting pretty stormy out there. I hope we all get home. Drive carefully, everybody, when we leave
yes.
here. But before we're getting close to our ending time, I want to give that address again, how people can make donations. You can make donations of money, of in kind, of materials, of yourself. All of it is lovingly received.
Definitely. And that address again is 101 Eckert Street, Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Think of Edgar Bergen. Edgar.
Amen. Amen. and then the P.O. Box is 16903 Chapel Hill, 27516.
And the Edgar Street is?
Edgar Street is right there on the corner of Pier 4 and Edgar is where the location for the Roger Road Community Center.
Just go down Rogers Road and turn on Pier 4.
On Pier 4.
And go down a couple of blocks, and on your left is this beautiful community center.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So we're so delighted that you could come. I know you got to go all the way across town, so drive very carefully. This
Will
is kind
do.
Of more exciting weather than I wish we were having. I could do with things being a little duller that's been hitting against the windows here. Mm-hmm. But I'm so glad you could come. As always, it's a delight to see you, and I get inspired every time I talk to you and every time I go out to Rogers Road and see what's happening in this wonderful community, and it's become wonderful through the efforts of people like you, Minister Campbell. So we're just so happy that we can be part at times with you all, and the Women's International League has always had a special place in its heart for the local NAACP. And the next meeting, if you want to get in on all this fun and joy, come January 2nd at 1 o'clock to the Rogers Road Community Center, and keep listening to us about HKNJ, Historic Thousand Sun Jones Street.
The Moral Monday movement.
It's part of the Moral Monday movement, so that might people may recognize that more than they will the HKNJ. But by the time it happens in February, we hope everybody knows what we're talking about.
And let's not forget about the Martin Luther King Jr. Event that takes place January the 18th at the Peace and Justice Plaza, starting at 9 o'clock, and then 11 o'clock service at First Baptist Church.
Where you walking
North
shoes?
North Robinson Street.
Where you walking shoes?
Let's fill the place up.
Yeah.
Those warriors about peace and justice, let us meet together at First Baptist Church. Robinson Street, Chapel Hill.
And on January 1st, isn't there at
we gotta
First
go.
Baptist?